You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Film Watch and Mailbag Wednesday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. On today's episode, former Saints linebacker Sam Mills, one of 15 finalists for the 2021 Hall of Fame, will revisit the former Dome Patroller's career and talk about why he deserves to be one of the five inductees announced on Saturday. Then we'll take a look at three impactful plays from Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers. Grant Haley playing assignment sound football in his first start. Drew Brees and Jared Cook are clicking. And how Marcus Williams improves the defense with his potential return this weekend. Then, of course, your questions from Twitter and Facebook for our Mailbag Wednesday. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Great news for New Orleans Saints fans on Tuesday, as former Dome Patrol linebacker Sam Mills was added as one of the 15 finalists for the Hall of Fame going into the 2021 year. Here, the five inductees will be announced on Saturday, but they always announce 15 finalists first. And you got a few Louisiana folks going through on that one. Alan Faneca, Reggie Wayne, Peyton Manning, but one New Orleans Saint in Sam Mills. Sam Mills, of course, spending time with the New Orleans Saints for 9 years of his career, 1986, all the way up until 1994, 1995 through 1997. At the end of his career, he was with the rival Carolina Panthers, played 12 seasons in the NFL, despite being one of the only linebackers. I mean, look, he was an inside linebacker at 5'9". 232 is what the Saints Hall of Fame has him listed as, but he was more like 225 or so when he was out there. He had the nickname Field Mouse, and he, you know, look, 1,200 tackles over the course of his career, including multiple 100 tackle games all the way through the end of his career. He was putting up those kinds of numbers, including a remarkable 155 total tackle season in 1994. So when it comes to him being a finalist for the Hall of Fame, that's one step. But the next thing is on Saturday when they announce those inductees. And I think that Sam Mills should be one of those five inductees. I know that there's some heavy competition in this one. We know a couple of folks that are definitely going to get in, like Peyton Manning, for instance. But when it comes down to what Sam Mills did throughout his career, again, a 12-year career as a 5'9 inside linebacker, I think he does everything, right? He has the longevity, first of all, which is an absolute must if you're going to make it into the Hall of Fame. Certainly has that without question. And his production over the course of his career as well. He ended his career in 1997 with a 99 tackle season. The year before that, 122 tackles. That was with the Carolina Panthers. Year before that, 110. He also had a defensive touchdown in his penultimate year. He played 16 games in each season, his last four seasons. And in every season but two, he played all 16 games. The two were his second year in 1987, where he was still a Pro Bowler on 12 games. And then in 1993, he had a shortened season, appearing in just 9 games. So he's got longevity, he's got production, sustained production on top of that, and he just simply has the stats. Again, 1,265 combined tackles in his career, 23 fumble recoveries. He's also got 22 fumbles forced. He's got 11 interceptions and a defensive touchdown, a few defensive touchdowns. He had three on fumble recoveries. He had one on an interception, which again happened the third to last season of his career. The second to last season of his career, he was a Pro Bowler for the fifth time. He's a five-time Pro Bowler in 1987, his second season, 1988, his third season, and then of course the 1991 and 1992 Saints seasons, no doubt there. And then 1996 was his final Pro Bowl year, again, just the year before he retired. He was also a first-team All-Pro in that season as well toward the end of his career. He was also a second-team All-Pro twice in his career. A lot of different things credit him with two first-team All-Pro nods throughout his career as well. So worth mentioning there. So look, you have that type of an impact as a cultural leader, first of all, but you have the longevity, you have the production, and then you have the stats to back it up, the accolades to back it up. He's already in the Saints Hall of Fame, Greater Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. He's all over the place for this team. He's all over the place for the Carolina Panthers as well, and just the three seasons that he played for them. He was an impact player, and he deserves, I believe, to be one of the five inductees announced on Saturday. He was a member of what was the best linebacking core ever assembled coming into the NFL from the USFL, along with Jim Mora, who coached the New Orleans Saints during that time, too. I mean, the guy's remarkable. His career was remarkable. His life was remarkable. All of the things that he did, just absolutely outstanding. And I think that, again, I can't hammer the point home enough. I'm not saying it because I don't believe it. I'm saying it again because I believe it that much. Sam Mills deserves to be one of the five inductees. You look at the Saints Hall of Fame, and they talk about his greatest moment, the Browning-Nagel fumble that he took back for a touchdown that he just ripped out of Nagel's hands and ran back for 74 yards. I mean, those were the plays that he made, as well as being a big hitter. He always won, as Ricky Jackson said, he always won the leverage game, right? Being a smaller guy. I mean, he went out there and did something that at that time, at his size, nobody else was doing, and he absolutely deserves it. So if nothing else, I'm glad to hear that he's one of the 15 finalists, but I look forward to hopefully hearing his name again on Saturday as a Hall of Fame inductee, along with some of the other guys that I mentioned earlier that are from the Louisiana area and from the New Orleans area. So really cool to see all of these accolades that are being offered to players with Louisiana ties, whether because they played with a team in the state or whether they're from the state, just really, really awesome to see, and looking forward to hearing more at the end of this weekend. And of course, at the end of this weekend, we get the New Orleans Saints going up against the Chicago Bears. So we're going to get back to the on-field stuff going on right now, taking a look back at Sunday's game, the big win over the Carolina Panthers, 33-7. We're going to take a look at three impactful plays, including looking at the value of getting Marcus Williams back, looking at the value of Jared Cook and Drew Brees being back on sync, and looking at the way that Grant Haley played some assignment sound football to get his interception in the first game of his career as a New Orleans Saint, at least. So we'll have that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints. Just before we get to your questions from Twitter and Facebook, it's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by 10-10. 10-10 is the exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, Houdat Nation, we did it. We did it. 2020 is mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. So if you're betting this year and want more wins, make sure you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. So subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast. It is Film Watch Wednesday up in this hizzle. Today, we're going to be breaking down three impactful plays from the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, I took it all the way back to the 90s. We were just talking about Sam Mills. I get to do that. I get to have fun here. We're going to break down three impactful plays from the New Orleans Saints victory over the Carolina Panthers. So we're going to start off with the touchdown pass that opened up the scoring onslaught of the New Orleans Saints. So we're looking at first and 10 going up against Carolina here at the Carolina 18. 9 minutes, 9 seconds left on the game pass menu. That's at the point of the snap. Once you get to the formation, let's pause and take a look. You've got Drew Brees in the backfield with Ty Montgomery on his right hip. And then you're basically looking at what is a 13 personnel look if you count Taysom Hill as a tight end. You've got two tight ends down at the bottom of the line of scrimmage, Adam Trautman and Taysom Hill going inside out. And then on the top of the screen near the 20-yard marker, you have Jared Cook. Jared Cook's who you're going to watch for this play. And then down at the bottom of the screen, you've also got Austin Carr spread out wide. So this is basically 13 personnel. I personally call this 2-12. That's just my own designation for it. The two is for two quarterbacks. and then one for how many running backs, and then two for how many tight ends. What we're going to watch here is that it's going to be a cover three look for the Carolina Panthers. Let's go ahead and roll the tape now. You're going to see Ty Montgomery immediately motion out wide. It's going to help to spread the defense out a little bit, which is going to be key in this look, because the Saints know what they're going to get here. And as soon as the ball is snapped, you can already see the cover three begin. You can see the, and I kind of paused it right after the snap here. You can see the Panthers corners start to bail out, which means run away from the receivers as opposed to engaging with the receivers. That's a pretty clear indication that it's going to be cover three or cover four. There's a single high safety, which we already knew pre-snap. So this is a cover three look, which means the seam is going to be wide open. When there's a cover three look like this, the two places that you want to attack are intermediate area of the field over the middle, or you end up shooting for between the up the seams between the safety and the corner on either side. And that's where they attack here. They go right in between the safety and the corner. I'm going to jump back to the beginning of the play with the left arrow key here and then just watch this again. You're going to see Jared Cook just get the just the perfect amount of depth. The linebacker anticipating a little bit more that he's going to come over the middle of the field, which actually helps because if you look at the bottom of the screen, you're going to see Adam Trautman essentially running the same play. What they do here is that they spread Ty Montgomery out wide and then they just run all go special. This is a four verts play. This is a Madden call for for Sean Payton here. And either Jared Cook or Adam Trautman were going to be open here. And just with the way that the linebacker ended up playing his depth and coming down over the middle, then that ended up opening up the opportunity for Jared Cook. And so Jared Cook knew where to be. Drew Brees knew where he needed to be. And they were able to connect here. We have seen some miscommunication between these two players here recently over the past couple of weeks. And in this case, they're able to avoid it. Where Drew Brees thinks Jared Cook is going to be is exactly where he is. And he ends up with a touchdown in the end zone. All right, next we're going to jump to the third quarter. First and 10 in New Orleans, 19, 9 minutes, 41 seconds is the timestamp on this one. So this is the Saints in the red zone where they have had some troubles again. And really, I don't even want to say again. I mean, pretty consistently all throughout the season. Let's go ahead and get to the formation and everything. You're going to get some motion out of the backfield. So this is essentially a 3-by-1 formation for the Carolina Panthers. This is something you see the Saints run a lot. Surprise, surprise. Joe Brady's our offensive coordinator. This is what you're going to get. So the Saints are kind of familiar. They know, you know, a little bit about what they might look to do here. And what the Saints are playing here is not just a standard cover one. It is a cover one look. You have the single high safety here. You're going to have man coverage on the outsides on the perimeters, but then everybody underneath is going to be playing zone assignment. So DeMario Davis, Alex Anzalone, safeties that are toward the inside, as well as, or rather linebackers on the inside, and then Grant Haley, who's in the slot, they're all going to be playing more match looks and zone looks. So you're going to get zone from the linebackers underneath in the hole. And then what you're going to get from Grant Haley, who's lined up in the slot at the bottom of the screen. So at the very bottom, you've got Janoris Jenkins, and you got Grant Haley right there on the inside. What he's doing is that he's matched up over the slot, but his assignment is an outside breaking route, not an inside breaking route. He is to allow anything that's breaking inside to just let that go and then run through the zones in the middle of the field. And he does this very well. And because he's able to do that, you have Ian Thomas, who's going to be coming out of the inline tight end position, who's going to run a corner route out toward the pylon. And that's where Grant Haley ends up reacting, or really toward the back corner of the end zone. That's where Grant Haley falls back into his coverage. So let's go ahead and run the play here. You can see him matched up over the inside slot guy. Once the snap happens and that slot guy breaks inside, you can go ahead and pause it. That's Robbie Anderson that breaks inside. Once he breaks inside, Grant Haley is redirecting and going back toward the outside because the underneath guy here from the outside is also breaking toward the middle of the field as well. So Grant Haley gets his head turned around. He sees Ian Thomas breaking over the middle. He knows that there's a safety back there so he can keep the outside leverage. So he keeps outside. He follows with the safety, gives the safety the inside leverage. And then Teddy Bridgewater underthrows this. And then Grant Haley's able to come up with a pretty easy interception. It just kind of falls right to him and he gets in position. But he had to make all of the right decisions in order to get into position in time to make that play. So big shout out to Grant Haley for being activated on a Saturday, playing on a Sunday, and coming up with his first interception as a New Orleans Saint because he played assignment sound football. All right, and to wrap us up on today's Film Watch Wednesday, we always try to take a look at one negative play for the New Orleans Saints. So we're going to step one play back. Let's look at the play that sets up that red zone possession that ended up turning into Grant Haley's interception. So we're here at a 2nd and 10. On the Carolina 37, 10 minutes, 31 seconds is the timestamp on Game Pass. So we're just going to take a look at this one. This is, you know, basic coverage for what you usually look for here in a cover two. You're going to see Marshawn Lattimore at the top of the screen get a lot of depth to make it kind of look cover six-ish, but there's sort of man coverage underneath for the most part, and you could see Janoris Jenkins playing that. But what we're going to really watch is the safety play here. So we'll go, and then once the ball is snapped, you're going to see a play action. We can pause it there. At the play action, you see nobody really reacts to it. This ends up turning into a three-man route. This is really good discipline and eye discipline by the New Orleans Saints defense. Alex Anzalone takes kind of a step in, but his assignment is also that same running back in the flat. So over on the bottom of the screen, you can already see Janoris Jenkins and DJ Moore locking up there. DJ Moore is going to take a post route over the middle of the field and try to split both PJ Williams and Malcolm Jenkins over the middle of the field. And he does exactly that. And then as this ball lingers in the air, if this ball is thrown closer to the sideline at like the 15-yard line, this is a potential touchdown by DJ Moore. But because the ball is underthrown, the Saints defenders are actually back in it on this. And this is where Marcus Williams makes a difference. Marcus Williams is able to sky up and make this pick or at least get involved. He has been a lot more decisive in attacking the football. We don't really see that from PJ Williams in this instance. I'm just going to let this one roll through the end zone angle so that we can see it again. PJ Williams' ability to close space is less than that of the range that Marcus Williams possesses. So I think you see a better play from Marcus Williams than you see from PJ Williams here. I don't think PJ Williams played this terribly by any means. And I think DJ Moore just makes a hell of a catch. But I think Marcus Williams, this shows you exactly where getting him back makes all the difference for this Saints team in terms of their playmaking and takeaway potential. All right, y'all, those are our three impact plays for our Film Watch Wednesday. Coming up next, we have questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group, as well as Twitter, including a look at Terry Fontenot and Jeff Ireland, who are getting a lot of attention across the NFL. Who would you rather lose? Who would you rather keep? We'll talk about that and much more here on Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And while we're talking about keeping general managers, I'm trying to keep your bank accounts loaded. One of the best ways to do that is to go and check out our friends and our exclusive betting partners, betonline.ag. If you are going to bet at all throughout the rest of the year here in 2021, just getting started, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Whether you're betting on college football, college basketball, the NFL playoffs, the NBA, they've got you covered over there. They've got wild props and everything from things that aren't even sports related. So go and check them out, betonline.ag, sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. The Saints line this week has already moved from -9 when it opened to -10.5 going up against the Chicago Bears. So get in early while these other lines are still tight. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, family, wrapping up our Wednesday episode here with your questions on our Wednesday mailbag. Got some questions for, or rather, a question from Twitter and then a bunch of questions from Facebook. So let's dive into it because I'm trying to get to everybody today. I want to do it for y'all. So there might be some short answers, but it's not me discrediting your answer. I just want to make sure I get to everybody. So I'm going to start off with my good friend, Dominic Kedzierowski from Poland, who came through with his question here. He wanted to ask about if having to choose between one of the two, right? One of them absolutely has to go, Terry Fontenot or Jeff Ireland. One of them has to get hired away. Who would I rather lose? And it, weird to say who I would rather lose, right? But in this scenario where you have to lose one, I think it's Terry Fontenot. And it's not because I think that his job is any easier. It's not because I think that he doesn't do a good job. Obviously, he does a phenomenal job. Terry Fontenot is the scout head of pro personnel. And so one of the things that he takes a look at is, you know, a retention for the players that are currently there, as well as potential free agents, potential trade targets, and then helping players adjust once they get into the building. The thing for me is that the draft is a cycling new group of players every single season, whereas free agency, pro personnel, you kind of build information over the course of time. So I feel like anybody that Terry Fontenot has trained or anybody that has worked with Terry Fontenot can sort of maintain his practice in that way while revamping your look at these players every single season, especially going into next year where you have this weird COVID offseason again and everything and a weird COVID season from the college football scheme. I would like to see a good director of college scouting in place to help the Saints out with that. So if I had to pick one, I would pick to keep Jeff Ireland. And then if you had to lose one, I think Terry Fontenot deserves the opportunity anyway. He hasn't had the general management opportunity before, so I'd rather him have the opportunity. And it's something that I think can
roll over for the Saints in terms of their practice and their culture for retention and pro personnel being a free agency destination, being a destination for where people might go, I want to be traded to the New Orleans Saints or whatever, right? Like that already exists. All right, we're going to fly through our Facebook questions here. Rusty Colley, and this is kind of a combo question here, asks about Quan Alexander's Achilles injury and what I think that means for him with the Saints. And then Daniel Adams asked what it meant about the conditional pick that was traded for him. I don't know because the condition of the pick has not been made public, so I don't have that information just yet. But as soon as I learn that, we'll, of course, talk about it here on the show. Quan Alexander's Achilles injury essentially guarantees that he's on the roster next year, as far as I'm concerned. He won't be healthy by the time that his injury guarantee kicks in at the beginning of April, meaning that the Saints are going to owe him $2 million anyway. So he's going to be on the roster. They're paying him. So it makes sense that they would want to extend and restructure his deal so that they knock down that $12 million hit and then pay him something a little bit more amicable in terms of what's going to be friendly for the cap, friendly for the player, and of course, understanding of the injury history that he has as well. But bottom line, I think he's with the team next season. Personally, anything can happen, but personally, I think he's with the team next year. Kenori Cunningham mentioned that he's feeling a little bit overconfident about the game on Sunday. So what are the challenges that I do see when it comes to Sunday's game against the Bears? We'll, of course, continue to break that game down over the rest of the week. But quickly, pass rush, always going to be worried about the offensive line in the playoffs, and then aggressiveness over on the Saints side. I want to see them continue to be aggressive on offense. And then the same issue that they had against the Bears the first time, don't give the Bears an offense that you don't want to play against. And they did it last time. I don't think they'll do it again this time, but those would be the three biggest concerns for me going into this one at this moment. Michael Murray, do you think that Alex Anzalone, has been working with Quan Alexander during the season? And we may see some improvement in pass coverage. Yes, and yes, I do. I think that the role of that nickel linebacker next to Demario Davis was cultivated and simplified by Quan Alexander. Makes it a little bit easier for Alex Anzalone to plug in, so we should see a boost for him. AJ Audette asked the question, top three types of candy. For me, I'm pretty basic, and I'm a chocolate guy. That's a weird sentence, but Reese's Peanut Butter Cup would be number one for me. Snickers would be number two for me. And then maybe Dark Horse in the race, but for me, at number three, Almond Joy. I like chocolate. I like coconut. I like almonds. I'm very happy with an Almond Joy. I just wish that there was more of them. Next up, we've got Lauren Rabb asking a great question here. If you were CD Deuce and you wanted to send a welcome basket to your best friend forever, BFF, Javon Wims, what would you put in it? So, of course, Javon Wims is the person that took a swing at CJ Gardner-Johnson. So naturally, if I'm CD Deuce, I'm sending him a welcome basket that has several mouthpieces in it, most of which are broken because I've ripped them off of other receivers. It's kind of my calling card for my crimes, I guess you could say. I would send him a couple of canisters of Morton sea salt as well, just because clearly he's salty. I'd send him a stopwatch that immediately starts at the 11-minute mark once he opens the basket so that it counts down 11 minutes. And then a note pops up that says, you still mad? And then I would probably send him a pair of boxing gloves too, because clearly he needs to do some work in the gym. Next up, we'll go to Hunter McKinney, who asks, how well do the interior guards hold up against stunts? And are stunts something that Chicago's defensive line runs a lot? So Chicago's defensive line doesn't do a lot of fancy anything, usually. Now, they might here in the playoffs, because this is where we start to see, you know, newer things from the team. But traditionally and typically for the Chicago defensive line, we don't really see a ton of that. The Saints have done a pretty good job, though, with their communication on the offensive line dealing with stunts. It's always hard on interior offensive linemen. I think that if Cesar Ruiz is in, he could struggle a little bit against that. He has over the season, but I think it's a good enough matchup for the Saints to still feel pretty comfortable about that, and especially knowing that the Bears don't do it very often. So even if they do try to employ it, it's not going to work every time because they're probably going to find some ways to screw it up or something like that. Daniel Adams is back. He asked, much has been said about Alvin Kamara not being available for practice for the week 17 games. Does he really need any practice? Lingering COVID effects and things like that aside, would missing practice really hamper Alvin Kamara that much? Not necessarily, from my opinion. He still gets to do the Zoom install in terms of having an understanding of what the offense is going to look like. And I've said this a couple of times, but on other shows, but I think the playbook goes out the window once the ball is in Alvin Kamara's hands. At that point, it doesn't matter what the hell the play was. He just creates beyond that point. So as long as you can still get him the ball, I'm not too worried about it. You could see maybe his lack of presence in some of the scripted plays at the beginning of the first half and at the beginning of the second half, the first possession on either side. But outside of that, I think that if he plays, he's going to be his usual self. Chris Bergeron asks, will the Saints win by 30 or 40 points on Sunday? I'm actually picking them for 14 points. I'm giving them the old Super Bowl score, 31-17. Next, we've got Tony Mealy. With Deontay Harris expected to return, will he completely take over punt return and kick return duties or split them with Marquez Callaway? I think he's your all-pro returner. he makes plays with the ball in his hand. If he's back, he's your punt returner. He's your kick returner. You get the ball in his hands as quickly as possible and as often as possible. So that's my personal opinion on it. But Marquez Callaway obviously has made good on the opportunities that he's gotten there. And you'll never hear me complain about him getting the ball in his hands. But I think you get the ball into your all-pro returner's hands. Our next question comes from, I'm probably going to completely butcher this name, and I am so sorry. I'm going to assume that it's pronounced Asbjorn, but please let me know if I got that wrong. After last week's performance, do you think that Sean Payton will find a way for Ty Montgomery to be involved going forward, or do you expect it to be do you expect him to drop right back into a backup role as before? I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that he goes back to a backup role. They'll probably have him as the third running back in the playoffs, potentially third or fourth if they carry four, and then have Dwayne Washington continue his special teams role. But, you know, I don't think you take the ball out of Alvin Kamara's hands to put it in Ty Montgomery's hands on purpose in any situation. So I don't know how much he gets involved, but I'll be interested to see because, again, they'll continue to use him as a wide receiver, too. So he will be a part of the game plan. And it's good that they were able to sort of cultivate what that role can look like for him or what any of those roles could look like for him by the end of the season going into the playoffs, because it's another wrinkle, which I really like for them. And we got Daniel Adams, who asks, if you could bring back one offensive and one defensive player at his peak from Saints history, just for this year's playoff, who would you choose? So Ricky Jackson is always going to be my answer over on the defensive side anytime. I don't care if it's the playoffs or not. Ricky Jackson is always my answer there as an edge rusher. Imagine him opposite a 13 and a half sack Trey Hendrickson rotating with Cam Jordan or whatever that arrangement might be. And then on the offensive side, I'd say Lance Moore, because I think he would just fit so well in what the Saints are doing right now. It would be the perfect complement to the other guys that are around. I would absolutely love to see him back in a Saints uniform if I was bringing him from his prime back into today's offense. Andrew Cummings, how worried should we be about Trubisky running like Jalen Hurts did? Not at all. And then Danny Curley, I'm sorry, I don't have as much faith in Mitch Trubisky as I do in Jalen Hurts, just to be completely clear and completely honest. I don't think that you're going to see a ton of that. I don't think you have to worry about that too much. It can happen, yes, but I'm not too concerned about it. Danny Curley, we'll wrap us up here. What will you be doing for the game on Sunday? Watch party at home with the family? Always at home with the family. I am going to be going to the Senior Bowl this year. I will be in Mobile. So that week at the end of January, I'll be still doing the show, obviously, but I'll be doing it from Mobile, Alabama. But I'm not taking any trips or anything before that because I don't want to miss out on that opportunity and to bring y'all interviews with prospects and conversations with prospects and what I'm hearing at the Senior Bowl, things like that. I don't want to mess that up. So I'm going to be at home watching it. Me, Megan, the dog, we'll have a good time. My dog gets a treat every time the Saints score a touchdown. So it's kind of tradition at this point. But more later on the Senior Bowl, more tomorrow with Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears for our crossover Thursday. And then Friday, our Film Friday, taking a look at the Chicago Bears. And then our three keys to victory. So much more. Make sure you come through for the rest of the week. If you didn't catch Monday or Tuesday's episodes, go back and check those out, especially yesterday's episode where we broke down how the Saints became a top five defense. Look, busy week, Saints going into the playoffs, wildcard round, trying to give you everything that I can. So I appreciate y'all for your questions. And as always, I appreciate you for coming through. Look forward to you being here with us throughout the rest of the week. As always, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. To your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust to that nation. I'll holla at you.